Well, welcome here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com as we kick off here another show on this Thursday night. And we have Bobby Dooley on the line with us. She is going to be talking about an unconfirmed report now, whooping cough on a, whooping cough infecting a bus driver in Portland, Oregon. That's the story we have here. Now, earlier today, the story read something along the lines of, it's an absolute sure fact, and of course, as things go and as news goes, we find out, no, it's not confirmed.
Oh, this is not confirmed.
Yeah, they said it's unconfirmed.
Earlier today, they didn't say that. Earlier today, it said, and I was quoting a Portland news source, one of the TV stations up there, I think, had posted that, yes, this was a fact. And, of course, we're all interested in this from the standpoint of the whole autism thing, you know, and we will have Ms. Dooley on.
Well, why are you giving the big crooked face like that autism thing? You understand, Phil, that there are those of us that have concerns.
Let me ask some. Did you get Jason J. Delmonico inoculated?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Are you worried that he's going to be autistic?
Well,
don't you dare make a joke out of that.
Just always...
Don't... Come on, bud.
He's just going to say, how do you know the difference?
What did I just get...
All right, take it easy, take it easy.
Yes, I got him inoculated. This was before the autism worries, and the autism fear had surfaced and was rampant in the country. God.
Margaret, you don't have to talk to me like I'm mentally deficient. I understand. I just wanted to know.
Well, you're trying to make me out to be a hypocrite.
No, I'm not. Not at all. I don't blame parents for being frightened. I do blame some... I absolutely blame parents for not getting the kid inoculated. I don't give a damn what anybody says. I'm telling you right now, there's no excuse for that. I don't care. If you're some freaky, really weird and strange person... who has a fear of these the vaccines because some doctor, not the FDA, not the science, but some doctor and maybe some marginal healthcare professional have said to you, well, you know, we think it really does. And Jenny McCarthy, of course, she's got a big influence on all that, or whoever, whatever celebrity, and you go out and you act on that, you don't get your child vaccinated. I think there's something wrong with you. I really do.
And I think that's extremely judgmental of you, Phil. I also think it is extremely... I think it's...
What, are you crying?
No, I am very angry. When I get angry, my voice...
She gets angry, she sounds like a man.
When I get angry... When I get angry, yes, my voice
goes down. All right, well, Margaret, let's get Bobby Dooley in here. Ms. Dooley, as you know, is the host of the Bobby Dooley podcast. Our number is 855-500-7445. We have Ms. Dooley on the line with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills this evening. And Bobby, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing good, Phil.
You see the story here. TriMet now saying whooping cough unconfirmed in driver.
Yes, and I think that is... I think that is, once the panic has settled, I think that's going to be the read on this, unless we have information that we don't yet have. But I think it's important for people to recognize that the vaccines for whatever the disease, whooping cough, measles, for mumps, for chickenpox, these vaccines, Phil, could very well be the cause of some traumatic ailment in our children. And I don't think panic mongering...
Well, that's a very good point, Phil. It is a panic mongering that seeks to drive, you know...
Yeah, it seeks to drive parents into the panicked state of going out and getting every vaccine imaginable until you've really put your child at risk. And we don't want to see that happen.
All right, I'm not going to go into why you feel the way you do. You just heard what Margaret said.
Well, I'm more than happy to tell you why I feel the way I do, Phil, because we've had these cases where we've seen some of the major components of these vaccines possibly causing autism in children because of the way they do interact with the chemistry. Now, I know what you're going to say. You're going to say there aren't enough of these. I'd like to ask you, Mr. Henry, how many are enough? How many parents of children, and how many of the children do we witness being compromised this way before we do something about it?
I think that's a very good point. Do we sit and watch as one child after the next drops? Or do we do something about it now? That is entirely my point.
All right, we're online here at PhilHenryShow.com, and on the air on the Phil Henry Show here, as everybody around here started coughing at once. I don't know why that is. Why are you coughing?
Because you have a because I'm... I just...
I feel like I need to cough too, Phil, so why don't you?
Okay.
Oh, God.
God, Mr. Henry.
Well, it's a coffee ground. I'm sorry, folks. I...
If you didn't drink that god-awful Turkish coffee...
That is what I've told... Why do you drink Turkish coffee? You know it is... There's nothing but coffee grounds in there.
Because I like the way it tastes, because it's a good, strong cup of coffee, because it's the best cup of coffee I've ever had, and I do apologize. You're right, the coffee grounds did get in the old windpipe here, but I think I'm okay. We're talking with Bobby Dooley, Margaret Gray along the line here, as well as Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman, about a Portland, Oregon bus driver who may or may not, as it turns out, have come down with whooping cough. After a morning of confusion about a TriMet driver possibly ill with whooping cough, the agency is now saying the case was unconfirmed and health officials will never know for sure what made the driver sick. What does that mean, they'll never know for sure?
Well, just that, Phil. It is a backpedaling on the entire issue so that they can be said to have not created a panic over the whooping cough. What I think is the tragedy of all of this is I know of three young mothers here at Western Estates who today, on the news of this driver supposedly getting whooping cough, went out and got their children inoculated. They were going to forego it. They were going to take a wait-and-see attitude. But because of the panic that was created by some in the media, and I'm hoping that you are not one of them, Phil.
I did repost the story on Facebook, and I reposted it on Twitter, and I think I made some comment that you probably wouldn't approve of.
Well, then I think you're a part of the problem, you know.
Phil, if you don't mind, Bobby, if just one...
I don't mind, but I do want to continue now with my comments after you make your comment uninterrupted.
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Never mind.
No, please.
Go ahead, Margaret.
No, never mind.
Well, Phil, the point that I'm trying to make is that this panic mongering is something that created in at least one of the residents here, and possibly two, the desire to go out and get this vaccine. So she, in my opinion, has exposed her child to autism, to a unsure and uncertain future, where perhaps this child will become increasingly cut off in a sensory way from the world around him. And why does that? Because the media decided to make a big case about this man, who now we find out may not have whooping cough.
All right, our number 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445. Bobby Dooley with us here, Margaret Gray making comments. Margaret, I don't know why you don't want to comment.
No, I'm not. When I heard Ms. Dooley say that she wanted to continue uninterrupted, I thought, you know something, why even go there? I'm not even going to, you know.
Well.
No, really, I don't want to, you know, someone else, you know, as my husband Frank says, someone else, pardon me for saying this, someone else cut the fart, let them sit in the cloud.
Okay.
There's no need to laugh.
Take it easy, bud, okay? Not every joke having to do with farts is funny.
That one was.
No, it was not. No, it was not.
All right. We're going to be right back. Our number 855-500-7445, Bobby Dooley, in to talk about the possibility that a case of whooping cough was discovered in Portland, Oregon, among a case of whooping cough with a bus driver up there. Excuse me for pausing. I was seeking grammatically the way to go.
What?
Just never mind. And so right now, though, it turns out it is not confirmed. So it's an extremely interesting story. I hope it isn't confirmed. I hope that there is, I hope that we can all be sort of, feel a little bit better about this story. But nonetheless, the entire debate and argument about vaccines and whether they are associated with incidents of autism will continue. World famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. 855-500-7445. Visit us at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass and you're free. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com, and we're talking here about the possibility of autism resulting from vaccines. We're having this discussion again because here's the guy with whooping cough now, or possibly.
Yes, possibly whooping cough.
And with me is Bobby Dooley from the Western Estates Homeowners Association, as well as Parent Teacher Organization. And Margaret Gray as well, both of these women mothers, and we have a lot of parents listening this evening. Bobby, this is an adult male who supposedly has a whooping cough. What has this got to do with children not being vaccinated?
Well, that's a very, very good point, Phil. It probably has very little to do with children not being vaccinated. It, I think, harkens to a time when this man was an infant and was not vaccinated, when this man perhaps, I don't know how old he is, but perhaps there was not a vaccine available.
Well, that's a very... Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm asking you, Margaret, because you already had your comments.
Yes.
I think Margaret should be allowed to comment.
Well, whatever you say, Phil, but I don't come on the program all that regularly, and I wanted to be heard on this topic without... too much interruption. It's not that I don't respect Margaret.
Phil?
Well, okay, let me say this. You have a podcast.
I knew you'd say that. I knew.
Well, you do.
I knew you'd bring it up. So I have a podcast, and that means I don't get to say what I want to say?
Darling, you have a podcast. No, that does not mean that at all. It just means, may I say something? I'm on the panel.
Oh, you're on the panel. Well, what does that mean, you're on the panel?
Well, but Bobby, why not let her say something? It's no different from a show that may have two hosts instead of one.
But this show has one host, you, and the others are on a panel. So...
You have a daily podcast. You get to sound off about all kinds of things.
All right, well, you know something, if you're going to let Margaret... And you know I respect you, Margaret, but if you're going to let her speak, then I'd like everyone to know that my podcast tomorrow will be all about whooping cough... and the vaccines that cause autism, and...
That you can do that if you want to. I think it'll be very boring.
You know what? I'll decide that.
Well, look, you agree with her, right?
Are you speaking to me?
No, I'm talking to Margaret. You agree with her, right?
Yes, I do agree with you. I agree that these vaccines put a child at risk of developing this kind of autism. Yes.
What kind of autism are we talking about here?
Bobby?
It is, from my understanding, Phil, it is called, and I did not see, I haven't seen anything from Jenny McCarthy on this, but I think that Ms. McCarthy had identified it as a autism XB or something. It had one of those appellations attached to it.
Autism what?
I don't know. It's autism, autism 3.
It's one of those, it's an offshoot.
Yes.
Autism 3.
Minute ago, you called it XB.
Yes, I did call it XB, and I misspoke. It's autism...
What's autism XB?
It's really none of your business. That's what that is.
How can autism not be any of our... Look, we're asking a question. If you don't know, you don't have to answer.
We know, Phil, but this is very technical information. The Jenny McCarthy... She has not sounded off on this as of late.
Yeah, she's doing those commercials. I don't. She's doing those e-cigarette commercials, which I hope they're helping her, feed her family. But she needs to give us a little bit more information on this.
Well, you're not getting all your information from Jenny McCarthy on this, I hope. I mean, she was one of the early proponents of this belief system.
No, this is not a religion, you know.
I didn't say it was.
Well, then why are you referring to it as a belief system? We're not members of the anti-vaccine.
Yes, it's not a cult, Phil. We're not going, oh, anti-cult god, or anti-vaccine cult god. You know, we're not doing that.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
What are you talking about, oh, anti-vaccine cult god?
We're not a religion worshiping a god that's an anti-vaccine. Do you understand?
Yeah, sort of sounds crazy to me.
It does sound crazy. That's why we're not that.
All right, fine. And Jenny McCarthy, you guys haven't heard her sound off on this, so you don't know what the autism is called that kids are supposed to develop if they are vaccinated against whooping cough or some of these other diseases.
Not right now, Phil. We do have to get more information, but it is autism. I know it's autism dash something. There's autism, and then there is the dash.
Yes, it's that. What are you looking at, Phil?
You know what I'm looking at. You guys don't sound very informed on this. That's why I'm looking at you funny. Autism XB. What is it, a plane or a disease? You know.
What do you mean a plane?
Like a rocket plane.
Oh, yeah, like X1. They call it Autism X15.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, that's not my point. My point is, I know, a specific form of autism that all these anti-vaccine people have been talking about, and I'm wondering what that is. If you don't know what it is, that's okay. Not a problem. We'll move on. I want to get over to Dr. Jim Sadler in San Diego, who is a internist. He has at times been a veterinarian as well as a psychologist. So, you know, Dr. Sadler, forgive me for that little bit of candor. How are you this evening?
Well, Phil, I was doing well until, I heard that bit of editorializing, but,
Well, it's true, Doctor, and I have to say these things because we have an audience that may ask me later, hey, isn't that the same guy that was the veterinarian?
Well, they may ask you a lot of things, and my response to that would be, Dr. Sadler's an internist, and I don't know what you're talking about, but you can't do that now because you got on the air...
And you're on the air now counseling me to lie.
No, I'm not. I'm not counseling you to lie. I'm saying you could say this, that, or something else. It doesn't make any difference. We're talking about autism, and I want to, first of all, say good evening to Ms. Dooley and Ms. Gray.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening, Dr. Sadler.
Good evening. But I also want to say, in the same breath that I took to say good evening, I want to say this. I want to say... that you're being highly irresponsible saying that the vaccine for whooping cough causes these diseases, causes autism. Autism XB doesn't even exist, Ms. Dooley.
Well, I understand it doesn't exist, Dr. Sadler, but I was being pressured by the host to come up with a form of autism that is created by a whooping cough. And this is the best I could do, all right?
We are not doctors, Dr. Sadler. We're mothers. Mothers. And we're frightened to death.
All right. You're frightened to death. I'm hopeful I can come on here and clarify some things.
All right, Dr. Sadler, it's Phil Henry. I want to ask you, is there any science, any real science, that links these vaccines to autism?
There is no science at all. No science that is accepted science. No one has written with any authority, nor been published with any authority on this topic. There is no consensus whatsoever that these vaccines cause autism. I have told women this as recently as this afternoon when I was walking into a Food King in my neighborhood. And
you're going to the supermarket?
I was going into a supermarket, and I was stopped by a woman who I'm familiar with. She's known in the neighborhood. People have seen her around. And she yelled my name, "Hey, Sadler," and I turned, and I recognized who this person was, and I kept on walking because she has been harassing me. She left a bag. Well, let me just say this. She started in again, and I said to her, "There's no science."
Is this some lady that's harassing you?
Oh, yes, absolutely. But she's one of these very, very motivated, and she thinks she has the higher good in mind and at heart to continually bother me. She left a bag with human feces in it and set it on fire on my walkway.
Good God.
Oh, that is disgusting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She left a bag of what? She left a bag, let's just say she left a bag with feces in it on my walkway at my home and set it on fire.
How do you know it was her?
Because she left a sign on it saying, she fashioned a little sign out of a popsicle stick and a little sign that said, Dr. Sadler, this is from, and she gave a name, and she even pointed with a finger pointing down at it, identified where it was.
All right, hold the line. Good Lord Almighty. Dr. Jim Sadler on the line with us here as we talk about the vaccine for whooping cough, the vaccine for measles, the vaccine for chickenpox, the vaccines that allegedly cause these terrible afflictions like autism, allegedly. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show, welcome back here. With me is Bobby Dooley and Margaret Gray as we talk about vaccinations and whether or not they cause autism. And you can tell by the derisive and dismissive tone of my voice that I don't buy it one bit, never have, and I don't now. And Ms. Dooley, I guess you encounter a lot of people like that.
Yes, we encounter a lot of people like that, Phil, and if they want to relegate a generation of children to a life of I don't know what you would do, children that I'm not familiar 100% with what autism looks like, but it can't possibly be good, and that is, you know, from me to you, as my husband says.
Well, no, it is not good, and what you're talking about, Bobby, is relegating a child with autism to a life of staring up at a ceiling, and or any of these sort of behaviors that we see as odd, maybe not bizarre.
What do you mean, staring at a ceiling?
Well, a lot of children who have autism will be looking at a ceiling, and I'm not trying to be funny, Phil, when I say that you will walk up to one of those children, and you'll look and realize, well, they're not staring at anything. And that's when you'll say, you know, where are your parents? And sometimes they'll say, they'll point, and sometimes they'll point at you, or they'll point at a bug. And you'll say, well, where are your parents? And they'll keep pointing at the bug. So you realize you're dealing...
Well, that's not a very... I don't think that's a very clinical or compassionate or descriptive way of relating to us what this this does, this malady does.
Well, Phil, what do you want us to say? We're not doctors.
All right, well, Dr. Sadler is hanging on the line from San Diego, so let's get him back on the line. Jim Sadler on the line with us here. And all right, you've heard what these ladies have said, Dr. Sadler. Your opinion. Is he there?
No, he hung up.
Why did he hang up?
You didn't go back to him fast enough. He thought you were just going to have a conversation, so he hung up.
I didn't go back to him fast enough.
Well, it didn't sound like you remembered that he was on hold.
Yeah, I don't think you did.
I remembered that he was on hold halfway through my questions to Bobby, and so we could have just segued very nicely, but we didn't.
Well, I don't think it would have been a good segue, because you would have said, oh, Dr. Jim Sadler knows. He's a doctor. Let's go. It didn't sound like you knew he was on hold.
All right, rather than go through a critique, get him back on the phone, please.
What do you want me to do?
Call him back.
Phil, I don't think it's a time to lose your temper.
But that's fine, Ms. Dooley. Thank you for your opinion. I'll decide when and where. And what you do, Margaret, as a member of the panel, is help me transition smoothly, not make it tougher.
Well, when you're sitting there, Phil, asking me questions and asking Bobby questions, and then you say, oh, yes, that's right, we have a doctor on the phone.
I didn't say, yeah, that's right. I made it sound like I...
You made it sound like you remembered there was one there, even though you'd forgotten.
See, so you're as my kids love to say, they'll always say, oh, you're busted, you're busted.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, but I better not.
Yeah, that's right, you better not. Is he there?
Yeah, Dr. Sadler, you there? I said, are you there? No, what I asked you is, are you there?
I guess if he's answering you, he's there.
Yeah, okay, I know, because that's what Mr. Henry said. If you're answering me, you are there. Okay.
Dr. Sadler.
All right, Phil, I'm sorry I hung up, but I didn't want to be treated like I was some kind of afterthought on your program. I am the man on this show who is the man of science.
Well, Dr. Sadler, this is Bobby Dooley. Please don't pull rank. I am a mother,
What do you call calling yourself a mother? I think that's pulling rank.
Well, no, it's not pulling rank, only to the point that we're reminding you that we have a very special, personal, and vested interest.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Margaret Gray.
Margaret Gray, she's one of the members of the panel on my show.
Oh, okay. I heard this woman. So there's two women.
Yes, I'm Bobby Dooley.
And we have Margaret here.
And I'm here.
Oh, I see. All right. I thought I was talking to one woman and then Mr. Hendry and the other, those two, excuse me for saying those two idiots.
I don't like being called an idiot, Doctor.
I'm sorry to call you an idiot, sir, but I don't know who it is that makes the comments behind Mr. Hendry, but he sounds like a real box office record-setting moron.
All right, that's fine, Dr. Sadler. Let's just get it back on track here to the whooping cough alleged to have infected a driver of a TriMet bus in Portland. Do you have any information on that?
No, I do not. Is that how you're going to talk to me? God.
I'm sorry, but I want to... Do you have any information on that?
No, I don't. I know that this morning they said they were worried that one of their drivers might be infected. As of this hour, they are gradually, slowly but surely backing off of the original report. KGW, which is a news TV station in the Portland, Oregon area, said that the newspaper said Wednesday morning that a Twitter user took a picture of the bus, which was cordoned off and sealed in caution tape, and a sign attached to the door read, "Do not enter infected bus." On Wednesday, KGW learned the driver was taking passengers along the number 10 route from 5:30 in the morning to 9 a.m., but the agency did not specify the day. The 10 Herald Street bus line travels to southeast Portland from the Lentz Town Center to downtown.
Okay, that's fine. So in other words, there was a report from a Twitter user?
Right. There was a Twitter user who then it was picked up by the newspaper, what was then picked up by a television station. So you don't exactly have the greatest sourcing of this story, because what we find, Phil, is that what's the source? Somebody with an iPhone who took a picture of a sign. And I think it's highly irregular. And so to the extent that these ladies are right, it's panic-mongering, they are right. But I will say,
you do agree, though, that it is panic-mongering?
I agree that there's no real verifiable source for this information, but I want to say to you, Ms. Dooley, it's very irresponsible for you to get on here saying that, autism XB and 1, and you don't even know what you're talking about. These diseases do not exist. The ones that you're talking about.
Well, you're the doctor, then. What is the autism that is alleged to be caused by the vaccines?
I don't know that much about autism because that's not my specialty. All right?
What is your specialty?
What's your spec? You mean what you are a specialist in?
Yes, what I'm a specialist in.
Well, what are you? You're an internist, though, Dr. Sadler, correct?
Yes, I'm an internist, but I don't know what the name to the different autisms are. You'd have to have a whole other study and a degree in it. I'm a regular country doctor, is what I like to call myself, the way the guy done on
Star Trek?
Yeah, on Star Trek. I loved him, and I became a doctor because of Bones. I forget what his full name was.
Dr. McCoy.
Oh, McCoy. I thought it was McGillicuddy. It wasn't Dr. McGillicuddy?
No, it was Dr. McCoy. But in any event... So you don't know the name of the particular form of autism caused by that they say is caused by the vaccine?
No, I do not know the name of it. We can keep beating this into the ground, and all it does is make me lose credibility, you know.
Dr. Sadler, I think a doctor should know these diseases and should be conversant with them.
Well, I'm glad you've given me your opinion.
Can I ask you again, Doctor, as an internist, what would you be more conversant with? What kinds of ailments?
Well, as an internist, I would know about upset stomach. I would know about what do they call when you have a loose bowel movement?
Diarrhea?
Yes, diarrhea. I would know when you're feeling ill and your forehead gets hot.
Fever?
Yeah, you know, you don't have to keep telling me what it is. I know what it is, but I don't. If you keep telling me what it is, then I look like even more of a clod on skates than I do. Dr. Sadler, this is Bobby Dooley. I don't think that you're helping us here. You don't even know what diarrhea is. I most certainly do know what diarrhea is.
But you had to be reminded of what the name is.
All right, so I did not have to be reminded. I did not have to be reminded.
Well, when you said that your forehead gets hot.
Yes, that's called a fever. I know that.
Well, why didn't you know that?
I did know it.
You had to be reminded of the name.
All right, I slipped my mind. Why am I even on this show? I got better things to do. I got invited to go out to dinner tonight in the Gaslight District with a beautiful, and I mean a beautiful, recently divorced patient of mine. And I'm talking to you people? I ought to have my head examined. I really ought to have my head examined.
And who would examine your head?
You know what? Why don't you go straight to the...
All right, he probably couldn't answer that question. Who would examine his head?
Yeah, Dr. Sadler, if you're listening, it's called a psychiatrist.
Ms. Dooley, in the time that we have remaining, which is only about a minute, can you tell me, what will be the upshot of this if it is found that the man does have whooping cough? If it is found that he does have this disease, what are you prepared to support? Are you still going to be telling mothers not to get their kids vaccinated?
Well, I just still reject the whole idea that he has, if he has whooping cough, as you say he may, then I think it's almost better to risk getting the whooping cough than to have your child, as I said earlier, pointing to a bug or an anthill and saying, I live there. And I don't mean to be frivolous.
That is very... That's a frightening thought.
I don't mean to be frivolous, but if your child goes up to, I don't have whooping cough, but I think I live under a house, I fear for our children and our future. Hello?
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much, Bobby Dooley, for joining us on the program tonight. You can listen to Bobby Dooley's podcast every day. It is the Bobby Dooley Podcast, available on the Sideshow Network, SoundCloud, on our website, philhenryshow.com, and elsewhere. Margaret, your thoughts?
Well, the fact that I was not allowed to really say much by Ms. Dooley under the threat that she'd become, I don't know what, bitchy or something, but I understand... I would agree with her. I don't want my child running the risk of coming down with autism just to get him vaccinated against whooping cough or the...
Oh, whooping cough.
Yes, whooping cough, excuse me. I would rather take my... I'll roll the dice and take my chances.
You're not taking the chances, though. That kid is taking the chances.
All right, I'll roll the dice and take the chances for him. And if it turns out that he is making noises in church, or I don't know, Phil.
That's okay. It's worth the risk.
Yes, it is, Phil. You know something? There are worse things in this world than having your child in the middle of a very quiet funeral or some kind of a church service belting out some funny sound. There are worse things.
Yeah, like my one kid I heard, he went, "Dah!" Ray!
Would you shut...
Ow!
Wow, Margaret, yeah, starts to hit home, doesn't it?
No, that hit home, though, didn't it, Bud?
Yeah.
We'll take a break here. I wish you wouldn't do that, because I'm going to have to take... talking about taking matters in hand. World-famous Phil Henry Show, our number 855-500-7445, 855-500-7445, and online at philhenryshow.com. Right back here with more on the world-famous... Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. And to my friend Gigi there in Waco, you let me know, Gigi, whether we got a level problem here or not. She was she's a nice kid, and she listens to the show. She may be the youngest fan we have. I mean, like, really devoted fan. But she told me on a Twitter message, she says, "You know, Phil, I can't hear your show. There's some level problems here, bud."
Well, you're one.
I'm just asking you to, you know, double check it for me. So thanks a lot, Gigi, for that.
Her name is Gigi. Is that?
Yes. Yes. That's a pretty name. I like that name. Anyway, welcome back here, 855-500-7445. Margaret, next hour we'll be talking about your upcoming set at, where are you going to be at?
Well, we're going to be in Fontana at the Kangaroo. This is a place that Frank booked me. We'll talk about it at the top of the hour. And the set that I'm going to be doing will be decidedly adult, yet classic. There's a couple of songs that I'd like to tell you about. Real classics. One is called The Scent of Me. Or no, Catch the Scent of Me. And another is called My Bow-Legged Gal. And they're a lot of fun. It's adult in nature.
Well, is it obscene?
No, I wouldn't call it that. It's adult in nature. I would rather not characterize it as obscene.
What do you mean, My Bow-Legged Gal?
Am I talking to you?
Yeah, well, Margaret, he's got a legitimate question.
It's a fun song. My Old Bow-Legged Gal Sal. That's the name of the song.
My Old Bow-Legged Gal Sal.
Because you guys want me to get into why she's bow-legged, and I'm not going to do it.
No, I mean, a guy can take a wild guess.
Well, then take all the wild guesses you want.
All right, but that's what you mean when you say it's going to be an adult set.
Yes.
All right, we'll talk about that at the top of the hour. For those of you who have been concerned, for those of you who have had questions, for those of you who have asked me, have I heard, and I was rather smart-ass about it today, someone said, hey, Phil, did you know that Art Bell is not on Sirius XM? To which I responded, yeah, and President Wilson's feeling a little tired, too.
What's that mean?
It means, in other words, it's old news, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I heard the one about President Roosevelt has a headache. Okay, great. So you get the general idea. Art Bell is leaving Sirius XM, if you haven't heard.
Yeah, and President Roosevelt has a bad headache.
Yeah, and President Lincoln...
All right, I get it. Art Bell, the radio icon that joined the Sirius XM lineup on September 16th, is leaving the air. Now, he's leaving the air after just a month and a half, and there is quite a bit of detail that this particular story goes into, and the story that I'm reading is on a Clear Channel radio station website. So what does that mean? Well, it means that the terrestrial broadcaster Clear Channel doesn't have any great love for satellite radio, and probably vice versa. I think that's just a natural bit of competitive spirit. But they go into quite a bit of detail as to why Art claims, they say that Art claims he's leaving Sirius XM. And this is what I had originally heard. And then there was a bunch of hokum. There were other reasons given that were bullcrap. This is what I've heard, and I believe this is what Art himself has attested to. Sirius XM's web player, their web player, is notoriously unreliable, causing a loss of subscribers and a degraded listening experience to those who remain listening online. So if you're listening to him online, you're using a web player that Sirius XM is providing, and they don't let. That's an online listening experience. Now, this is a satellite service. This is coming through the air from the satellite. So, in other words, the optimum listening experience would be listening by way of a satellite radio. However, there are many who do not, and there are a great many Art Bell fans, how do I say this, that are...
They're off the grid.
They're off the grid, yeah. They're you know...
Yeah, they live in a desert in a cave.
They don't live in a desert in the cave, man, okay?
No, they live in the desert in a cave. Yeah, you said they live in a desert in the cave.
Well, whatever I said, man, that's not exactly accurate. Are you saying they're unusual people?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. You kidding me or something? Art Bell's listeners, they think that the world... They think that the world's going to be taken over by underground worms.
What? That wasn't even funny.
Well, I think it was.
All right, fine. But Art's got a lot of people that listen in out-of-the-way places. He's got a vast listening audience, obviously, and a great many of them, I would suspect, are listening online, hence the reason for him to be a bit soured on the web player experience of Sirius XM. Number two, and this is something that we can attest to here in the terrestrial world, for a caller-driven show, the caller pool for Art's show is just too small. That's a very, very key thing to understand, and it means the following. It means callers to talk shows are people that are cume listeners. That means they're just, you know, they're popping in and out. They're not necessarily loyal listeners so much as they are just people that are there listening and then going off to another experience. If you don't have that many people popping in and popping out, and satellite radio doesn't because it's satellite radio and it's a subscriber service, you're not going to get people calling the show. International listeners have no legitimate way to hear the show. International listeners have no legitimate way to hear the show. Well, an international listener can listen online, but their web player is screwed up, and I guess the satellite service of Sirius XM does not extend to the international listener. This is not the first time. Now, here they go into some editorializing. This is not the first time we've heard issues relating to the internet platform offered up by Sirius XM. There have been a host of issues from the functionality to being booted off. Okay, so what they're basically saying is that Art has left Sirius XM because his internet-only listeners do not have a way to listen to the show. Isn't that interesting?
Well, so what does that mean? Most of his listeners were listening online?
I don't know. It seems to me that Art spent an awful lot of time early on, developing an online audience, developing people online, telling people to go to the website, posting things, having people sort of interact with him by way of the website. So I would say that, yeah, there's been quite a bit of effort put into developing those online listeners by Art Bell, and he doesn't see them coming over to satellite radio, so bummer, people, bummer. We'll be back, world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All of what you just said?
No, I won't.
Sometimes I need to.